This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
There's a family in the States that says that they knew that they were going to win the lottery. And imagine if you had this same feeling. Would you not buy a lottery ticket?
100%.
Like in this case of this family from Maryland, this woman's three adult kids all said on the same day that they had itchy hands.
Mm. Oh. Mm-hmm.
And, well, Sonia, you're the superstitious one here on the show. I guess there's some lore to it. If you have itchy hands.
It's not just your hands, it's your palms.
Okay.
Yes. So it all depends on which palm is itchy as well. And they both mean different things if you're the superstitious type. Right hand, itchy palm, money is coming in. Left hand, itchy palm, money is leaving.
Sorry. Maybe it's because I'm hungry. I just keep hearing Ichiban.
Oh, yum.
Right hand, Ichiban. Left hand, Ichiban. It's an Ichiban kind of day. Anyway.
Noodles, yum.
I mean, you'd have the most, like, fanciest noodles ever if you won the lottery from this. That's a superstition, though. That my parents talk about it all the time. They're like, oh, your palms are itchy. Money's coming in.
Right, so in this case of this family, they won $50,000 in a scratch-off ticket.
Oh, my God.
50
yeah.
grand. Not
Mine's
bad.
Like finding a loony on the street. Not 50 grand. I got to aim higher.
Okay, so it's all relative, right?
Yeah.
Anything with superstition. For example, if your palm is itchy right now, you could find $5 in your pocket later on and go, oh yeah, well, this is probably what it means. Money's coming in,
totally.
Even though it is already your money.
Right. But also because they think that, like, that's when a job promotion could be coming as well. Like, my mom always says that too. She's like, oh, maybe something big's going to happen at work soon, and that's why it's happening. Or go, and they have said it before where you're like, you should go and purchase a lottery ticket because you never know, you could end up winning. And in this family, it worked out.
So when your palm, which one is the right one again?
The right hand.
Yes.
That palm means money is coming in.
In. Okay. So if your right palm is itchy, do you automatically think I have to buy a lottery ticket?
I mean, I think about it. I don't know if I necessarily, but I'm one of the superstitious types that if I trip before I leave the house, I'll always wait about 2 minutes before I go, because I think that that's been a superstition that my parents have told me about as well. That usually means that you've forgotten something.
Oh.
And so I follow these sort of things all the time. And even if it's something that I'm like, oh, maybe I just forgot a pack of gum.
Right. Okay. Because you and I have been friends for a very long time. And it wasn't until recently that I realized just how superstitious you are, because you and I were walking together. I think we were grabbing coffee after the show one day.
The pole?
And yeah. And there was a pole and I was going to go one way. You were going to go the other way and you joined me on my side.
Yeah.
Even though there was no room on the sidewalk.
Doesn't matter.
Because,
oh. Wait.
And I'd never heard of the superstition before, because what's the theory?
It's something about, like, things can come in between you and it can wreck your friendship. So.
Hey. We walked on the sidewalk the other one time and I went on the outside of the pole and you just kept on going on the one side.
Take the hint.
Wake the fun up.
Wake the fun up.
With Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Okay. I need your help when it comes to movie theater etiquette.
Oh, no.
Saw Joker opening weekend. Fantastic movie. I will warn you, it's not for everyone, and it's especially not for kids, but the movie is so well acted with Joaquin Phoenix as Joker.
When you bring me out, can you introduce me as Joker?
Like, the movie is deeply unsettling, mm-hmm. but maybe just as unsettling as the movie itself was what happened during the previews. When the previews are on,
mm-hmm.
are you still able to talk?
Yes.
When the previews are on, are you still able to use your phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, define using your phone.
Okay.
Talking on the phone, I don't think is ever a good idea while you're in the theater.
There's a guy taking photos with flash the entire time.
Oh.
He was doing snaps back and forth to his friend as all the movie trailers were playing. And again, the movie theater is already dark. Nobody else is on their phone. And I agree, talking is fine as long as you're not, like, yelling.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be discreetly texting to say, hey, I'm going to, you know, be in a movie for the next 2 hours, that's fine.
Sure, dim your screen.
For 15 minutes of trailers, the guy had been snapping back and forth with his friends. You can see the front-facing flash go on and off to the point where everybody's just like, "What? Who's going to say something? Should I say something?"
And you have the immediate fear that he's going to continue to do this throughout the entire movie.
Right, and that was my worry, is that I got, like, a good seat, you know? This is a huge movie,
yeah,
that everybody saw this weekend, apparently,
of
because
course.
It was like the biggest movie of all time in October.
Yeah, it did really well.
Thankfully, he stopped during the movie. But when somebody actually suggested to him, "Can you please put away your phone?" as he was doing it,
oh no, and
he kept doing it. And you could tell there was a sort of a disruption between everybody who was sitting in all the rows behind, because, you know, with stadium seating, as soon as someone brings out their phone, just for a moment, all you can see is the glare from their phone, all the brightness.
Yes.
And he's flashing. I've never seen that happen before.
What?
Who knows that?
Again, he's flashing his camera flash.
Yeah.
Not his body.
No, yeah.
Well, this Snapchat, apparently. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Uh-huh.
Yeah, don't use that opportunity if you're going to send a suggestive snap to do it in a dark movie theater, okay? There's so many things wrong with that. What would you have done?
I probably would have waited for somebody else to say something.
Right.
But I probably, my husband's the type that would probably ask something and say, excuse me, would you mind if he continued it onto the movie?
Well, the other option would have been to actually say something just anonymously. So like, throw your voice and disguise your voice so it's obviously not recognizable.
What?
You and I have recognizable voices. Right?
You can do impressions. Which one would you have used?
Hey, you. Hey, turn off your phone. You suck. Let me watch the movie.
Effective.
Yeah.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
This might be the best real estate opportunity in Vancouver right now.
Oh, my God. Why are you telling other people?
Well, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, my friends. You, Sonia, you, producer Jordan. Sonia, I know, you know, you're currently renting.
Yeah.
You'd love to stay in Vancouver.
100%.
Producer Jordan, you're looking to buy your first place.
Yeah.
What if I were to tell you there is a place on West 4th?
Ooh.
Okay.
Great location.
Uh-huh. That is $549,000.
Okay.
And it's over 5,000 square feet.
What? Oh,
there's something shady going on with
this. Yeah, is this a warehouse?
It's not a warehouse.
Is it a haunted house?
I cannot confirm if it's haunted or not. It doesn't say in the listing, but it's Kitsilano's Bimini Public House.
Oh, yeah.
They put it up for sale for $549,000. And again, when you look at it, you can fit 200-300 people.
Wow.
Right? I'm not saying that you should get it and then, like, sublet it, but
oh my God.
You could. And it says it comes with two fully equipped bars.
Yeah.
Right? You get pool tables and
pinball
games, too.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, you get all the games that are up there on the second back floor.
That's what it says. That's what it says. It says you get the TVs, too.
I was just going to ask that, too. Does it come with the projector? Because we used to go there and watch the fights all the time back in the day. And watch
all three levels, baby.
Nux games. Oh, my God.
So I will state the obvious here that I am unsure if there's different zoning bylaws and rules when it comes to residential occupancy and business occupancy. But people sleep in their offices all the time, don't they?
Totally, man.
So, like, what is stopping somebody from buying Bimini Public House for $549,000 and just
probably the smell of Jaeger bombs as soon as you walk in. Like, it's so hard to get that out. If you had some nights at the Bimini, which I've had many, many fun times there.
The smell alone, as you described, answers Jordan's earlier question, which is, what's wrong with it?
Yeah.
There, we have our answer.
Wake the fun up.
Wake the fun up.
With Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Man, if you're in a long-distance relationship, you know it's hard. Mm-hmm. If you've ever done one, you know it's hard. But if you have the right tricks, if you know how to approach it, it can make it a little bit easier. So take it from Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra. The two of them are separated a lot.
Yeah.
You know, she's acting in Hollywood. She's got Bollywood stuff on the go. Mm-hmm. Nick Jonas, of course, touring with the Jonas Brothers. They'll be in town Friday at Rogers Arena. By the way, we've got tickets all week long just after 8 o'clock with the not-so-secret word. So they have a rule, and they say this is the key to them making their long-distance relationship work.
Is it PG-13?
Yes, it's PG-13.
Okay, all right, what's up?
The number one rule for Nick Jonas and Priyanka Chopra is simply this. They can never be apart longer than 2 weeks.
Okay,
so no matter where they are in the world, they have to connect in person once every 2 weeks. Doesn't say how long, but they have to have that. And I agree, because when my wife and I did long distance, and we did it twice, it's one thing to Skype every night. It's one thing to talk on the phone and text throughout the day. But finding that we always had booked the next trip to look forward to helped with the countdown.
2 weeks is a pretty short turnaround, though.
It is.
Because obviously they can do it because they've got the cash flow to be able to make
it. Sure.
Yeah, like, you know, they can do it. But otherwise, the rest of us, if you've been in a long distance relationship, you know you're not only coordinating time off, but you're also coordinating if you've got the funds.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the time you can't. You're just looking for latest seat sales and you're looking forward to maybe 3-4 months down the road and when you can finally see each other.
So whatever that number is, if that number is for you 2 weeks because you can make that work, because maybe you aren't really that far away. It's a car you know, right away. Or maybe it's a month or whatever. I think having a countdown to look forward to help you with the goodbyes, which is always the hard part, right? You know, when you have to drop them off at the airport or you see them driving away, that's tough.
Agreed.
So when you know that you've got that next big sort of light to look forward to, the next countdown, that helps tremendously.
One other thing that I used to do with a partner that when we did long distance, because we didn't get a chance to see each other very often, is we would pick a show once a week that we would watch together.
Yes.
And so then you would watch it.
Watch along.
Yeah, you do it at the same time, right? Yeah. So you're watching the show together and then you're kind of enjoying it at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool that way because then you have that like shared experience, even though you spend most of the conversation just kind of quiet. It's kind of nice to have something to kind of still feel like a date.
Right.
And that feels like fun.
And the bonus for you is that you don't have to share your popcorn, right?
Oh, true.
My God, facts.
So maybe there's some bonuses to having a long-distance relationship, too. It's not all a downside. It's Kevin and Sonia.
Have you thought about your Halloween costume yet? Have you already started to look? Well, don't pull out your credit card just yet. Turns out that bargain hunters are telling you to wait when it comes to purchasing those Halloween costumes, even your Halloween candy, because they say it's actually going to get more affordable and cheaper as we get closer to Halloween. The reason why? They're worried about too much stock in their stores, and then they're likely going to discount it as you get closer to the date.
Okay, the key is they will discount what's left.
Right.
So if you want certain popular costumes, you might want to get it now and maybe pay a little bit more than risk not finding that particular costume that you had in mind. For example, Joker, right? Everybody's going to be wanting to be Joker, right, as Joaquin Phoenix has made that character just so incredibly popular.
But that's an easy costume because it's mostly face paint, right?
Yeah.
And you should have the rest of the stuff at home.
But like the orange vest and the particular kind of overcoat and shoes that he had, you know, to assemble something like that last minute is a lot of work. I would say, though, that if you're thinking about renting a costume, which is a very popular option people do. Do that now. In fact, you probably are a little bit late, come to think of it, because here we are. It's 7 days into October. Like the really good costumes go very quickly.
Oh, man, I didn't even think about Halloween costumes yet. Have you guys?
Yes, okay. because I was a Ghostbuster last year and I finally got like the premium deluxe costume.
Oh.
And so that's what I'm going to be for the rest of my life.
Oh, yeah.
That is my costume every single year from now on.
Lovely.
You know what? That's good because that brings it back to your childhood. Because even we were talking about this over the weekend, that when we were kids, we didn't have the fancy costumes that everybody else did.
No.
We had a choice. We had orange garbage bag,
yeah.
Black garbage bag,
yeah.
White garbage bag. We weren't cool enough to have the green garbage bag because then I could have been like Frankenstein or like leaves. Ooh. But in that case, if it was orange, white, or you know what I mean? Like that was my option. And those are the things I could dress as.
Was that the product of our climate here in the Lower Mainland that you had to put the garbage bag?
No, I think that was just like what our parents were like.
You had a garbage bag as a costume? I thought you were just protecting yourself from all the rain.
Or it was like toilet paper, like a mummy.
Yeah, something like
wrap
that.
Wrap yourself in toilet paper.
Yeah.
What can you do with a garbage bag?
I mean, you could go as a ghost with a white garbage bag, right?
You're not supposed to put plastic over any kid.
But, I mean, your head was still showing. You still had face paint on. Or you could go as a cow. I did that 1 year. I just took Mr. Sketchfelts and drew little black dots on it.
Okay, well, going back to the climate thing, I mean, does it really matter when you're a kid what you are and how you're dressed? Because you're always going to put a thick winter coat over it anyway because it's so wet or so cold, you know, by the time October 31st rolls around.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen, like, in the interior in Alberta, what they do there? The kids will actually buy a costume that is 4 times larger than what they need so they can wear it over their snowsuits.
Oh, man.
Right? So at least you can tell that they're, I mean, some Michelin man form of whatever, you know? It's like, I think you're Jasmine. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
So there's a big problem with electric cars, and it's a safety issue that a lot of people brought up, and that is that they are just so quiet. And they're too quiet because often if you're on the street, you're a pedestrian. Sometimes you don't even know that there's an electric vehicle creeping up right around you.
Yeah.
And as a result, people are getting hit by these electric cars. Well, Tesla has announced they have a novel idea on how to alert pedestrians on the road. They will give you the option of producing sounds. Now, you would think automatically that maybe a horn would be the first option, but it's not. Because I think a horn can be too jarring. So if you want to let pedestrians know that you are driving around right by them and you know, give him some fair warning.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk tweeted that soon you can customize your horn sound to let pedestrians know via a fart sound effect.
You got it.
And it's not even just that. It's also... animal sound effects.
Yep.
If you know anything about a Tesla, if you know friends who have Teslas, like, they can do some really weird things. Like, they have built-in inside the car fart sound effects. I don't know why, but this is just one of those random things that they have.
For sure.
But if you had a car that was producing this sound as an external warning for pedestrians, would that not be even more distracting? I mean, yes, you'd get their attention, but not in the direction that maybe you would think.
See, the whole point of an electric vehicle, though, is that it doesn't need gas or emissions.
Well, so you have this farting car.
To make up for it, you still want to use gas?
Oh, my gosh. Tell me you wouldn't like... Okay.
I'd use it all the time, 100%. That would be the feature that I would take advantage of immediately when it rolls out.
Right.
Because why not? It makes you stand out from the rest. And it's funny. Immediately, if you heard that when you were crossing the street or you're on the road and you heard a fart sound coming from a car, it would make you laugh. And I'm all about spreading joy. I guess farts, no matter how old you are hilarious.
Okay. So maybe the fart thing would make you laugh, you get out of the way. But would you get out of the way if you heard a cow?
No.
I would stop dead in my tracks. Why is there a cow here?
That sound effect sounds more like somebody in slow-mo saying no.
No.
And that's probably how I would react.
Like, right? You'd stand there in the sun. You'd be in there in the crosswalk. You'd be like, is that a whale? Is that somebody saying no?
It's just Sonia. Once again. But now, if you do fart on the street, just blame it on a Tesla that goes by.
Watch it. There's no other cars around you. How do you explain that?
That's so fun.
Ew, that last one.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
I'm going to be coloring the study a little bit by saying that this cannot be accurate. How many people do you think reported on this survey to say that they had a zombie apocalypse plan?
Like a real plan?
Like
or
a
have
real
thought
plan.
About it hypothetically?
Like a plan, a blueprint to say what they would do in case there was a zombie outbreak.
Oh, man, the fact that you're shocked, I'm going to say 45%.
Okay, it's not that high.
Okay.
It's 14%, but that's still like 14% higher than I thought anybody would actually say. Who has actually thought of a zombie apocalypse becoming a reality?
I totally thought this would be right up your alley, though, Kevin. I totally thought this is something you would have thought about.
Why?
I don't know. You just strike me as a type that's
always
prepared.
Right. Yeah. If they grouped this into general emergency preparedness, then yes, sure, fair enough. It's an earthquake or if it's a flood or if it's a zombie outbreak, you have the same essentials. So maybe those 14% said, yeah, I got an emergency kit at home. I guess I would be fine for a zombie apocalypse.
Sure.
But it's so much more than just a natural disaster. If you're talking Walking Dead coming, you know, coming to reality, it's... You know, being able to run, being able to hide. And these are very different circumstances, I think.
Can zombies climb?
It depends what version of zombies you're watching.
Oh.
Some zombies are like the slow-moving ones with their arms kind of like out towards you.
Yeah, then in that case, you got lots of time.
Oh, yeah.
Stop for a coffee along
the
way.
You can go to Starbucks. Even if there's a long lineup, you're like, that's fine.
It's going to be an 8-minute wait for your latte. Is that okay? Yeah. He's going to be at least 20 minutes before he gets, gets closer.
No wonder why he's so grumpy. I mean, it's food.
He's obviously lactose intolerant. That's how he became a zombie in the first place.
Oh. So, some other movies, some other zombie depictions have them as like the fast running, oh my god, they're faster than a bear, so you better just like find a good place to hide because you can't outrun a zombie.
Oh, man,
like
I
suddenly
suck
they
at
get
hide
super
and
speed. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it depends on I mean, I don't know. See, again, we're theoretically talking about the zombie apocalypse as if it'll ever happen, and it's not going to happen.
You don't know, but does this study make you think that the fact that they did a study about it make you think that, hey, maybe I should have a plan in place?
I mean, there is some thought to the fact that every time you watch a zombie movie, the people who don't think that there's ever going to be a zombie apocalypse are the first ones to get picked out, right? And the ones who have the bunker, who have the ammunition, who have all the food supplies are the ones like, oh, who's laughing now? So are you going to go home after this segment, Sonia, and are you going to create your own emergency preparedness kit for zombie apocalypse?
Did you just ask that question? Think about it. Obviously not. I have bought Halloween candy already 3 times.
Yeah.
And I have not been able to ration it. I live in an apartment. No one even trick-or-treats at my house. I can't even eat that stuff on the table.
So the general lack of foresight is a pretty good indicator that you will not be able to look forward not just to 3 weeks, but to a zombie apocalypse. Got it.
Wake the fun up.
Wake the fun up.
With Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Should you have to provide a sick note to your employer if you can't make it into work? This is a hot debate topic, and a lot of people are talking about it with flu season here officially. By now, you know somebody who's been off work for a little while because they haven't been feeling well. Guilty.
Yeah, my wife got sick. Your husband's now sick.
Yeah.
I did an Instagram poll last week on my IG, and I think 80% of people who responded said they know somebody who's sick right now with a cold or flu.
Mm-hmm.
So it's real. I mean, there's a bug going around, but should you need a doctor's note for something as simple as that?
Well, an expert says that getting a sick note is a public health risk if you're asking your employee to do it. And the reason they say that is because if you do have the flu or the cold or something like that, that is contagious. If they are sick enough to stay home, they are sick enough to stay home. They shouldn't have to go to the doctor.
Yep.
And then go and potentially spread whatever germs that they currently have to other patients out there or anybody else. Like, you could be in the doctor's office for an earache, for, I don't know, like a sprained ankle, and now you're also likely to get the flu or cold because somebody else is there.
Yeah, it puts a strain on the healthcare system for something that'll basically rid itself. Like they say, the biggest thing for cold and flus is just time.
It's
unless it gets really severe, in which then, yeah, of course, you see the doctor for something like this. But if it's just simply there to get a doctor's note to verify that you were sick when you should be at home resting, it's unnecessary.
I do think, though, after a couple of days of being sick, though, it is a good idea to go to the doctor. And I say that because a lot of the times you are going to need, for example, the last sickness that I had, there was no way I was going to rid it unless I had antibiotics.
Right, but that's different. That wasn't the cold or flu. You had a full-on infection.
A virus.
Yeah.
Right, that started as a cold flu. And you don't know if it's going to go down that road. And so I do understand, because there are people that take advantage of the sick day. And they say they're sick, but they're not.
Right. And so that probably is the reason why many years ago they started implementing the requirement in many different places of work that you have to have a doctor's note after 3 days, 5 days, whatever that number
but
is.
Some places it's day one.
No, see, that's a ridiculous use of our taxpayers' money to go and force somebody to sit there and get everybody else sick. When, I mean, really, you just need to get some Tylenol cold and flu, which is going to help with your symptoms, and then you just wait for it to pass.
I agree with you on that one. I think one day is too soon, but I'm on board with the 3 days. If you're off for 3 days, that you get, bring a doctor's note. Because I think at that point, it takes longer to get over, and you should be checking in with a healthcare professional just to make sure that you are going to get better.
Hang on. How long does the average cold last then?
I don't know, but you should be starting to feel the effects in a little bit better.
Common cold typically lasts 7 to 10 days. So to force somebody on day 3 to get a doctor's note, I think that's way too soon. I mean, obviously, again, if you have certain circumstances where, you know, I mean, everybody knows their body better than anybody else, and you know that this is beyond what is the normal cold and flu, then yeah, go see the doctor for something else, but not just to get the doctor's note.
But I think when you say that it lasts 7 to 10 days, that's like for it to fully get out of your system. I think you only have those strong symptoms for about 2 to 3 days, and then you're good enough to come back to work.
See, and you know, the thing is that I think we all have this deep commitment to work, at least, you know, if you have a certain degree of work ethic, that you feel bad about being away from work for a period of time where 100%. You go like, oh, you know what? Maybe I'm good enough to go in now.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes we worry about being judged.
Mm-hmm.
We worry about being judged by coworkers and even by management to say, oh yeah, they're fine enough to work. Why are they taking a sick day?
Mm-hmm.
When the studies say until it's passed and you're no longer contagious, you should really be avoiding public places like work, like going to the mall or anything like that. You should just be staying at home.
Right. And a lot of the times you're contagious before you even know you're sick.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's where it all begins. I mean, right now we're fighting it in our house and just trying to make sure that nobody ends up getting, like, I don't want to get sick again. I was just sick for a week.
Yeah. We had a ping pong event a couple of years ago. My son gave it to my wife, who then gave it to me. And then I gave it back to my son in a different form.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
It was back to my wife. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a vicious cycle, and it went on for weeks, weeks on weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're just like, what do you do? What do you do? You're just exhausted because someone's always like snotty and nasty.
Right, yeah. You get a hotel room, you're like, see your family.
Get out.
It's Kevin and Sonia. You know, there's a rule a lot of workplaces have that you need to provide a sick note if you're away from work for a certain period of time.
Right.
For some workplaces, it's one day. If you want a day off, if you need a day off, let me put it that way, you need to give them a doctor's note. Otherwise, mm-hmm. you're going to be docked pay or it'll be a vacation, which is ridiculous. Text message 104.56. I worked at a place and I got sick on a Saturday. Spent my whole day throwing up. They said they needed a doctor's note anytime you call in. So I had to spend the afternoon driving all around Chilliwack, trying to find an open clinic, only to find them all closed when I felt terrible and I should have been home instead.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's got to be some leeway here.
Mm-hmm. That's why I thought it was always like over 3 days you need to have a doctor's note. I thought, but again, yeah, we're hearing about it. I had the same discussion about sick notes at my work the last couple of days. This is a text that came in. I work in the hospitals and most of us thought the rule was 3 days to bring a sick note, but apparently it is 1 day for some businesses.
And again, what if you cannot, because of your sickness, make it to the doctor's
right.
office? Like this person says, what about when I have a migraine for more than 3 days? And migraines mm-hmm. can be very serious.
Oh my gosh.
And you can't make it to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Suddenly that has to be your priority when you need to just be getting better.
I mean, I know the rule is in place because there are people that have abused it in the past.
Right.
And that's the reason the rule is there. And unfortunately, the real people who suffer are the ones that are sick.
The legitimate.
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is Kevin and Sonia on Kiss Radio.
Wake the fun up.
Apparently, there's a right and a wrong way to sleep in terms of sleep positions in the bed. How do you sleep when you lie to me? So what do you think? What do you think is better for you? Sleeping on your side or sleeping on your back or
left
sleeping
side.
On your front?
Left side is the best side to sleep on. And that is the best for your body because of nerves and I'm just trying in here. Is that and is that correct?
You sounded very authoritative yeah. with your information. I'm like, oh, wow, maybe she's read up in this. It doesn't specify what side is preferable, but they do say, according to sleep experts, that sleeping on your side is better than sleeping on your front or sleeping on your back.
Okay. And the reason being? Because of the vessels and the blood and the circulation.
Well, let me WebMD this right now.
Was that right?
It leads to deeper, more restorative sleep and allows better oxygen flow to your body. And it helps things with, like, for example, sleep apnea.
That's exactly what I said.
No.
Okay. There's a
if you rearrange the letters, yes. maybe, of the things that you said.
The reason I came to this conclusion is also because my husband has sleep apnea.
Right.
And anytime he's sleeping on his back, he snores like a mofo. So what I have to do is I have to pull him, push him to the side. And
he stops.
And then he stops for a few moments.
Yeah.
And then that usually helps. Also, when you're pregnant, they tell you that the best position for you to sleep in is on your side. And they always say left for life. Is the saying that they say, and that you should sleep on your left because it's better for the baby and it's better for you.
Left for life. Would it not be confused for like right is right or right is...
No, I didn't say that. I said left for life.
I know, but
right works too. You can now sleep, like you can sleep on your right side too, but they prefer left. But
okay.
They always say don't sleep on your back for too long, anything over 30 minutes because it can actually put stress on the baby and the baby's pushing on your organs as well.
Wow.
So they do say that left is the way to do it.
You know, there's a trick to making sure that you don't sleep on your back at night. It's not a comfortable one, but it's an anti-snoring trick that some people say works for them because you're right. When you're on your side, you don't really snore as much. And it is to tape a tennis ball to your back.
Why would you do that? Who's going to do that?
Okay, maybe you don't do it to yourself, but maybe you do it to your partner when they're sleeping. You're like, hang on. That's my duct tape impression.
Oh, is that what that was?
or ripping out your hair because they're snoring all night. One
I
of
just
those
go,
two.
Hey, move. Hey.
Does that work?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. A woman boarded a Delta Airlines flight out of Florida without a ticket. She was eventually removed from the plane and the flight was delayed. Now, the only reason they found out that she was on there, like she was already seated ready to go, was because they needed to ask her for her ticket since she was in someone else's seat. And she goes, oh yeah, I threw out my ticket. Oh, and I don't have ID. The thing is, Delta Airlines can confirm that she actually did go through security.
Oh my gosh.
And that she was checked.
How does that happen in 2019? Like post 9/11, you can't even get away with 101 milliliters of liquids, let alone get through without a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know how, and that's what makes everybody so nervous about it. Imagine being on that flight and see somebody like removed, and then you find out, because people probably heard the conversation, like, oh yeah, she didn't actually have a ticket to be on this plane.
Right.
It's not like she had a ticket to go on a different flight.
Right, and made a mistake. No, she just snuck on.
Yeah, that freaks me out.
Jeez. Did you ever watch those movies, by the way, like older movies where, like, again, it's pre-9/11, and then, what's it, like, Love Actually, right? The kid runs through the security, right? That would never happen today.
He would still be behind bars if that happened probably. Today, yeah.
Flip them over. Count your cash.
Three numbers without bombing out is a
cash blast!
Colby Inouye from North Delta. Did we get that right?
Yep.
Okay, great. Just because we want to project positive feelings to you and maybe pre-write this blank check with an amount to be filled in just a moment if you're our latest winner with Cash Blast. We've got 16 cards, so think of a board of 4x4. And if you've been playing along with us, this is the same board that we had Friday afternoon with Kai and Tara Jean. And you will know right away where one of the four bombs is placed on this board of 16. So avoid that card. Were you listening?
No, I unfortunately was not. Mm.
Okay. No, that's fine. It's fine.
Yes, you still could end up making some money.
That's right. Now, is there something in mind that you want to, you know, put this money toward if you win?
Yeah, I need to start saving up for the tires for my truck.
Okay. All right. So let's get you those new tires. Colby, we need three cards that all have cash amounts under them, and then you'll win that full amount. Give us the first card you want us to flip over.
Number four.
Four! $100.
Nice.
Ooh. Not bad. Not bad. Okay, so you got $100 so far. Let's try to grow that amount. Cards number 1 through 16. Which card do you want to flip over next, Colby? So far, you got $100.
Number 8.
Eight. $50.
Okay. All right.
Doing good. You're still in it. $150 is what we're sitting at right now. You just got to make one more crucial decision. If there's a bomb underneath, you lose it all. If there's cash, we'll add it to your total, and you're walking away a winner this morning here on Kiss Radio with Cash Blast.
Okay, I'll go with number 12.
Number 12. Again, as long as it's a cash amount, you're going to be our latest winner. Fingers crossed. Let's see how much it is. If it is any amount.
12! $200!
Woo! We got a cash blast! Hey. $350 is yours, Colby in North Delta. Not bad for 60 seconds worth of work this morning, hey?
Oh, I like it. It's good, a good start to the morning.
So your tires that you wanted for your truck, I mean, I'm pretty sure that'll be a good dent.
Yeah, this will help out for sure.
Yeah, it will.
Yeah, it'll give you a couple of them.
Or one, maybe.
Okay. Let's not lessen the prize here, Jordan.
But on top of that, though, you have also got your name. You and everyone else who texted in to play Cash Blast, you guys are all in the draw for that all-inclusive Sunwing vacation for two to the Rio Republic in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Now, Colby, if you didn't choose that last card, card number 12, what card would you have chosen? Just out of curiosity.
I probably would have just said one.
You would have said one, which would have been...
One! Oh, no!
A bomb!
A bomb!
You made the right choice, buddy.
Good thing you didn't hit that.
Favorite number is four, so I was scoring up by fours.
Well done. All right, we'll tell you what. Let's reset the board. Let's download a new one.
In Colorado, there is a physicist who has put his scientific expertise to practical practice. And what he's done with his 11-year-old son, they are getting ready to build a 3D printer version of a Lamborghini.
With the 3D printer?
Yeah. So basically, this guy's son was like, hey, Dad, can we do this? And he's like, you know what? Why not? Let's use this and make it happen. So it won't be a proper Lamborghini because it has some parts from like a Corvette and a Porsche and things like that.
But it works.
It'll look like a Lamborghini.
Jeez.
Wow.
Like this is like the future of cars. Mm-hmm. Like soon, imagine this. Like you wouldn't have to order a car part. Like if a mechanic finds something wrong with your car dealership, instead of having to order it in, they just 3D print it.
Keep in mind, it's still expensive to do.
You can buy like a small little 3D printer for, you know, Lenny Drugs, for example, you can get one. But I mean, the idea of printing out anything larger than that, it's going to cost like a lot of money.
For sure.
But The only thing is that you have to be able to assemble it yourself. I have problems with IKEA furniture on the best of days. I can't imagine how.
Wait, what's this spare part? I'm sure it's fine.
Whatever.
Nobody needs it.
Kiss. Kiss Radio.